ask you to turn in your Bible and God's Word this morning to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be reading verses 34 through 40. That's on page 804 if you're using one of our pew Bibles, but if you're in your own Bible, Matthew 22. I ask you if you can and are able to stand in reverence and in honor of the reading of the gospel this morning. Matthew 22, starting with verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the greatest in the law? What commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Well, hey, y'all. Thank you, brother. Man, it's good to be here with you. I can't thank you enough, Emmanuel United Methodist Church, and especially my brother Andrew for allowing me to be here today. I'm so humbled, and I'm honestly moved emotionally because God's brought us on an amazing journey, brother, and it's only beginning. So, whew, man. Thanks for letting me be here. Did you like the text this morning that Andrew just read? It's one of our favorites, isn't it? Love God, love people. It's as simple as that. Or is it? It's not simple, is it? That's what I want to kind of unpack for you today. Love God, love people. I think I've seen that on a few church t-shirts and bumper stickers before. Have you? It's all over the place. My sermon title, I took that too, Crazy Love. I don't know if y'all ever read the book Crazy Love from Francis Chan? Anybody? That's an amazing book, life-changing book. So I kind of lifted that from, Love God, Love People, Crazy Love. I kind of lifted that today. So it's all good. But truthfully, loving God is crazy. It calls us to crazy things. Loving other people, especially the ones that annoy us, a little different than us, it's hard. It's crazy, isn't it? Truthfully, loving God and loving people as Jesus loves us will make us look crazy to other people outside here, won't it? My dad thinks I'm nuts. My fraternity brothers have all written me off as some kind of Jesus freak. We all look crazy when we're following the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, And truthfully, if we don't look a little crazy, we might be walking in the wrong direction. If we don't look a little crazy, we're probably just living for ourselves, I want us to think about just a few biblical characters like Abraham. Crazy. Pick up, he heard from God, said, just pick up and go. Well, where do you want me to go, Lord? I don't know, just go and I'll tell you as you go along. Or how about Noah? Build this ginormous boat. It'll take you 100 years to build for a flood. Can you imagine the neighbors that came to see Noah? Hey, dude, what are you doing? I'm building for a flood. Okay. We all look a little crazy when we're following God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Read Hebrews 11 today when you get home, and it'll tell you all about that, okay? These folks all look pretty crazy, pretty nuts, in fact. But they had great faith and crazy love for God, but guess what? The thing I love is they were just as jacked up people as we are. They're just as messed up. But what gives me great faith and great hope is that God uses messed up people to do extraordinary things when we surrender and submit to him, We wouldn't be here otherwise. So thanks be to God for that. But listen, the reason why we're here today is to celebrate the craziest act of love, the craziest act of obedience, The reason why we're here is to celebrate who? Jesus, right? Our ultimate example. He is our example. He is our guide. He is our strength. Okay? We're here to celebrate and remember and respond. Respond to the radical and sacrificial love and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So give me Jesus. You know, 1 John 2 says this, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And folks, that walk should look a little crazy. You should have a little pep in your step. That walk should look a little different because Jesus walked a little differently, didn't he? You know? Jesus had some radically different things and crazy walk going on. You know, listen, he was walking the narrow road. He said the road, the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to life. So he asked us to walk that road. And the truth is, most of us walk this wide road that he said leads to destruction. Right? He wants us walking crazily on the narrow road that leads to life. Here and now, not only eternally. Here and now. Pretty cool. But Jesus was turning the world upside down on itself. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? He turned everything upside down on itself. Okay? He was pointing people to the kingdom of God. He was healing the least, the lost, the sick, and the sinner, and eating with the outcasts. He was revealing God's saving grace and love to a hurting and lost world. That is our example, y'all. He is our example. That's what he's calling us to. And in today's passage, Jesus is teaching a lot of people in Jerusalem pretty soon before he is actually crucified. He's teaching his disciples, but he's also teaching a bunch of sneaky Pharisees and Sadducees are questioning him. They're wanting to trap him. Okay? And that's probably, and those of us who know the Bible know a lot of different stories maybe about how Pharisees tried to trap Jesus and all kinds of things. That's never going to work out good for you, is it? You know, I love what it says. As they're trying to put an end to Jesus' crazy ways, Jesus silences them. Silences them, you know? But the question that the Pharisee asked Jesus today, I feel like is actually a pretty good question. You know, it seems fair. Teacher, of all the laws and the commandment, which one is the greatest? Which one is the greatest? You know, but did you know that there were over 600 laws? And some of those were ceremonial laws, you know, obviously for priests and other things of the tabernacle. 600 laws that were given down to Moses. Everybody know all those? Is it any wonder that, has anybody ever tried to read the Bible from the front to the back? How many of you bogged down somewhere around Leviticus? You know, but putting these 613 laws aside for just a moment, I want us to think about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. You may say I'm going on a tangent, but it's not really. Because we can't say we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength without having the Ten Commandments really treasured in, because the Ten Commandments are what leads us to joy in life and freedom, okay? It's the firm foundation. I mean, God wrote it with his own finger on those stone tablets, okay? So which of the Ten Commandments do you guys think is the greatest? You know, is it number one? I am the Lord. You shall have no other gods before me. And my mom's here. Mama always said, put God first, everything else works out. So is it number one? Is it number two? You shall make no graven images to bow down and worship. Now, graven images, we don't see too much around in the Bible Belt, do we? But it's happening all around the world, even in America. People bow down to statues. And we might not bow down to statues in this church, but we bow down to a tiger paw, a Gamecock flag, Howard's Rock, our children. I'm preaching to you now. Our children we bow down to. Our jobs we bow down to. Right? How many people are not in church today because they were at a football game until 2 a.m. last night? We bow down to idols and worship other things that are not supposed to be number one. So how can we say love God, love others, when we don't love God with all our heart and soul, mind and strength? Everything else is put in front of him. So number two, number one, are those the greatest in the commandments? How about number three? I'm going to radically trip you out here, because this is something that's kind of been revealed to me lately. Number three is don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. How many of you that are handymen? How many men are handymen? Nobody. I'm not either, so. But let's just use that example. Say somebody, well, let's use another example. Somebody bangs into the back of your car, or imagine you bang your head as you're working on a sink. What's the name that a lot of people use, unfortunately, when they bang their head and they get mad? They use the name above all names. You tell me there's no spiritual warfare going on in God's people. They don't bang their head and say, Muhammad. They don't bang their head and say, Gandhi. You know, it doesn't happen. You tell me there's no spiritual warfare. Oh, man. What about number four? I'm not going to go through all these, just so you know. But number four is an important one. Remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. How many of us do that? I'm stepping on my own toes here, preaching to myself here. But you know what? I'm going to go on a soapbox, because we are an exhausted society. We literally are killing ourselves to death by overworking ourselves. We never take a break. I told you I'm preaching to myself, right? We never take a break. We don't put the phone down. You know, we're killing ourselves. And when we don't take a Sabbath day of rest, we're basically rejecting a glorious gift of Almighty God. A glorious gift of rest. And what could be wrong with doing nothing? I mean, God says don't do any work. That sounds pretty awesome to me. That could be the best law, in my opinion. But when we neglect the Sabbath, we are basically saying we don't think God is worthy of that time. So again, how can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength when we don't take time to be with him? And we don't think he's worthy of that time. You know? And another thing for us busybodies who think that we can't get our work done, I can't take a day off. I'll never get my work done. You know, God stopped the sun from going down. I think he's capable of helping us through our work. And you know what? When we take that time, it's always better. It's always more efficient. So take the time. God is saying, stop, rest, refresh, and relax in my presence. Let me love you. Love me, and let me love you. Let me pour out an ocean of grace upon grace on you as you worship me. That's crazy, y'all. That's crazy. I can go on and on with the Ten Commandments, but I'll stop here before I lose you. But I appreciate how Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments here. He summarizes it. You ever notice that? The first four commandments are summarized in love God. The rest of them are how we love people. So Jesus makes it short and sweet and beautiful. But there's a lot behind that that we need to know. And so that's why I appreciate you bearing with me on that. Love God, love people. But actually how Jesus says, when he is asked the question by the Pharisee, he says it more implicitly. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the greatest and first commandment. And what he's actually quoting is called the Shema, right? Shema, which is Jewish, okay? But a Jewish Shema is from Deuteronomy. Anybody know that book in the Bible? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what Jesus is quoting, okay? That's what he's quoting. And what's cool about it is that would have been on every faithful Jewish home's doorposts. And every faithful, pious Jewish person would recite that twice a day. Twice a day. Because God said in Deuteronomy, it's to be on our heart. It's to be binded on our hand, right? We are to be teaching it diligently to our children. And when we apply that to a discipleship thing, that doesn't mean that Andrew is solely responsible for discipling your children or whoever's in charge of children ministry. We as parents are to be teaching it diligently to our children. He goes on to say, talk about it when you rise. Talk about it when you get up and sit around the table, when you walk along the road, so when we're driving in our cars. Talk about it. When you get home, when you meditate on it, in your sleep, or as you're lying down, and when you rise. Why do you think God is so emphatic about that? Because we, as we're going to sing in a minute, we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. We're prone to leave the God we love. We forget. If we don't continually, intentionally, and diligently pursue. Yeah, I love your mission statement. I took note of it. Where is it? By God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue. Yeah? We pursue to make disciples and be disciples. So, we forget. Before we know it, when we forget, we're chasing idols, aren't we? We're chasing idols and we're looking like the rest of the world because we're just all about ourselves. And that's not what God wants for us. In fact, from the front of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God has always been about setting apart his people as a holy nation. A holy nation. To point people to how he is. Glorious and awesome, but also compassionate and loving for everybody. That's how we're supposed to be. And that's what he's calling us to do. And that's what I love what Jesus says next. The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Be like me, God says. And here Jesus is quoting Leviticus 19:18, where it says, God commands, love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. Which brings me to a challenging point. Because just because you have the Shema posted on your doorstep, or doorpost, just because you have memorized Leviticus 19:18 and all the other 600 laws, as the other Pharisees had done, just because you have the Ten Commandments posted on your school, just because you have a Bible that's dusty and sitting in your house and never been read, okay, or have a favorite spot in a church pew, doesn't make you a lover of the lover of our souls, Almighty and Everlasting God, does it? Does it? And just because you come to church, tithe a little, don't drink, don't cuss, don't smoke, and try to be better than the guy you see on the news, doesn't make you a lover of the lover of our souls. Doesn't make you a lover of the people that God has called us to love. The people that he sent his only son for to die on a cross. Does it? What makes us a lover of the lover of our souls and of other people is when we abide in the Holy Spirit and let him sanctify us. When we abide, just give me Jesus. Jesus is the answer, right? I love what Wesley says, the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. We can't do this on our own, folks. We can't just grit our teeth and say, I'm gonna try harder. We just need to abide. We need to take time to be with the Lord and center ourselves on the Lord in worship and prayer and praise and let him go to work on us, right? Pursue him. Pursue him, right? Sacrificially, being willing to give up everything. You know, Jesus said in Luke 14:33, if you're not willing to give up everything you own, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my, that's crazy love. That is crazy love. Loving God with all we have, and loving other people as ourselves is crazy. It's sacrificial. It's radical. But it's biblical. Okay, crazy love doesn't give up when the times get tough. Crazy love trusts and obeys and has faith even in the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Don't let anybody tell you it's easy. Because it's not. It's hard. But if anybody you know is like the Apostle Paul and they get to the end of their life and they say, I've run the race with endurance, right? I've finished the race, they'll tell you it was hard, it was crazy, but it was awesome. And they will say it's worth it. Do you know anybody like that? And yes, we'll get tired. Yes, we'll get weary. Yes, we'll fall down, but God always picks us up. You know, when that happens, we always can look to God. It says in Hebrews, I think 12, that look to God or look to Christ when we get tired and weary and when we fall down. Look to the author and, I love this, finisher of our faith. Right? Who for the joy, you know, set before him, endured the cross, and scorning its shame, is now seated at the right hand of God, a place of authority, y'all. Authority. So let your hearts be strengthened and stirred today. Amen. In Jesus. In closing, y'all celebrate All Saints Sunday next week? Do y'all do like a toll bell, or do you light candle or anything like that? Okay. So this week, I want us to be pondering and praying about. Just ponder as we approach All Saints Sunday. If you've ever known anybody that just exemplifies a person who just radiates the glory of God, somebody who loves radically, somebody who loves sacrificially, ponder that this week and ask God to go to work on your heart, you know, as we approach this. You know, maybe that person has a little, maybe you've just noticed them working behind the scenes, doing things that nobody else does, and they don't expect any thank you. They do it for an audience of one. Do you know anybody like that? Do you want to be that? I mean, they do this because they delight in the Lord for no other reason than just to make God smile. I want to be that. These people are obsessed people with Jesus. I want to be that, and I want that for you. Because God's looking for obsessed people, willing to give up everything. You know somebody who just loves to worship, to love to get together with his people, to lift up the name of names around with all the saints in that. You know you're in the presence of Almighty God, but all the saints and the angels are worshiped around the throne and are here in our midst. And that person who is obsessed, that person I want you to be thinking about, they love to worship, and they're always here. And they don't just worship on Sunday. It's every day. So think about that. Obsessed people, crazy love people, right? All they do and all they accomplish, everything is all from God, right? And for his glory. It's not of themselves. That's important. They believe Jesus died and rose again for their sins. They believe and they put their whole faith and hope and trust in Jesus. And they surrender, listen, daily. Daily they surrender to the inner working of the Holy Spirit, that process of sanctification as we grow in our walk with God. And listen, it's their joy. It's not a burden. It's their joy, okay? So put your faith in Christ. Put your trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. We won't make it past the parking lot if we say we're going to grit our teeth and try harder. Put your faith in Christ and put your trust in the Holy Spirit, okay? It's what obsessed people do, and I want to be that. I pray that for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to pray from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but I'm going to transform it a little bit to this context, because when we read the letters that Paul writes, it's really cool to, he's talking to us too. So pray with me. God of mercy and God of grace, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell, that he may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in that love, that crazy love, may we have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that we may be filled to overflowing, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We pray that you would do far more than we could ever ask or even imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. Jesus Christ, may you be glorified in this church and in our lives throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.